Acts chapter 1, and we'll be looking at verse 9 this morning. Verse 9 alone this morning. Last week we had looked at the Lord's resurrection. We looked at the Lord's command that He gave His apostles. And now this morning we will look at the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. The ascension of Christ. That's the title I have for the lesson this morning. The ascension of Christ. Verse 9 of chapter 1 in Acts says, "And when He had spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight." Here we have in this book of Acts the record of Jesus Christ who came into the world. He merited the righteousness of God by His obedience. He who died as a substitute for God's elect, who rose from the dead of His own power, who spent 40 days with His disciples after His resurrection, and by many infallible proofs showed Himself alive, and who gave commandments to His apostles and gave the promise of the Holy Spirit that was to be poured out on them. And now we see that He is risen, He is ascended out of their sight, out of this world, and taken from them. Now, what I want us to think about just for a moment is the confusion of the apostles. The confusion of the apostles. You think about it. The Lord Jesus Christ, they witnessed His crucifixion and His death. They spent 3 years following after Him night and day, listening to His teaching, received of His hand power to perform miracles, and yet now He was crucified before their very eyes and died. They felt the loss of Christ whom they had believed. Remember in Luke chapter 24, the disciples on the road to Emmaus, they said, "We believed that this was the one who would restore Israel." Past tense. We believed that this was the one. But now He is dead and He is gone and we miss Him. We thought He was the one. But when Jesus revealed Himself, what did they say? "Did not our hearts burn within us?" They changed from sadness to joy. All the joy of seeing their risen Lord. They were no longer sad, but they were with Him. 40 days He showed Himself alive to them. Imagine their overwhelming joy of the physical presence of the risen Christ. Can you imagine the joy? If the Lord Jesus Christ would appear physically to us, what joy that would be to our hearts. What encouragement that would be to their souls at that time. He was dead and now He's alive again. They loved Him and they saw Him and they handled Him and they ate with Him and they walked with Him again. They were restored. And they said in verse 6, they asked the Lord, they said, when are You going to restore Israel? Isn't this the time? Is this the time You're going to restore Israel? And God, He said, "Don't worry about what God's placed in His own time. It's not for you to know." And as He was speaking to them, as He was telling them the promise that the Holy Spirit was coming, that the Spirit of God would fall out upon them and they would be endued with power to witness to all the world of His resurrection. As He spake with them, He was lifted up out of their sight. Imagine that sight. All of a sudden He's speaking to them and He just started lifting up off the ground. Out of their sight, and they were watching as He went all the way up, and they didn't take their eyes off of Him. Even after He was gone, the angel said, "Hey, what are you doing gazing? What are you doing looking up into the sky? He's gone. He's gone out of your sight." This morning, I want us to look closely at the ascension of Christ. We're going to do this two Lord's days, if the Lord's willing. I have four questions, two of which we're going to ask this morning concerning the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, where did He go? Where did He go? And second of all, what is He doing there? Where did He go and what is He doing? Why was He ascended out of their sight? Where did He go? Well, that's one a child could answer, I'm sure. Where did He go? Heaven. Heaven. He went into heaven. He went into the veil of the Holy of Holies with His own blood. That's where He went. He went into heaven itself. He went to where He was before. He went back to where He was before. Remember when He was talking to Nicodemus, He said that the Son of Man came down from heaven. You see, He came from heaven because He was always there. He was always there. He went back to where He came from. Where He was the Son of God and He enjoyed all the glory and splendor of being God. Yet He came down so low to become a man, but after He had accomplished salvation, He now ascended to where He was before. You see, God had given this man, Jesus, a name which is above every name now. He is exalted on high because He has, by His passive and by His active obedience to God, merited the ascension into heaven. You see, none of us merit our ascension into heaven. He alone merited His ascension into heaven. Because He, by His obedience and death on the cross, God has given Him this ascension and exalted Him into heaven itself, but not just into heaven. That's not just into heaven like we go into heaven. When we die, if we're a believer in Christ, we go to be with the Father. We go into heaven. But He had a greater ascension. He had a greater ascension. Because His ascension was to the right hand of God. The right hand of God. He has given a man, this man, Jesus Christ, the very throne of God. This is what Mark says in Mark 16, and when Jesus ascended in His gospel, He says He ascended up into heaven and sat down on the right hand of God. This is a glorious and triumphant ascension, which was foretold to the prophets of old. This was not something that wasn't foretold. This was something God already purposed to do. Psalm 110 and verse 1. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. Because of His victory over the enemies of God and the enemies of yours and my souls, Jesus Christ is now seated at the right hand of the Father. And the Father says, sit thou at my right hand. David, who wrote that psalm, was God talking to David? Did God say to David, sit thou at my right hand? No. David's Lord is who's the one he's talking to. David's Son, who is David's Lord, Jesus Christ. God didn't say, sit thou at my right hand to any angels or any other being, but Jesus Christ, the Son of David, David's Son and David's Lord. He who became a man is now ascended at the right hand of God, which was foretold in many other places. This is where Jesus Christ ascended into heaven itself. And right now, as we are speaking here this morning, there is a man on the throne of God. There's a man there. There's a man seated on the throne of God, the God-man, Jesus Christ. This is where He ascended. Now then, I'm going to get a little bit more technical. What is the right hand of God? What does that mean? What is the right hand of God? He ascended to the right hand of God. Do you suppose that there are really two thrones in heaven? And that there's God the Father's throne and just a little bit beside it on the right hand is really the throne of Jesus Christ and He's seated at the right hand? Is that what that means? Now this term right hand is sometimes referred to as the right hand of the throne or the right hand of the majesty. But what is meant here is the glory, His splendor, His grandeur, and by throne is meant heaven where His glory is most clearly manifest. You see, you and I can see the glory of God through a glass darkly. You look out these stained glass windows that we have and you can see light out there, but you really can't see what's going on. You really have only a slight picture of what it is that's going on. And so we here have a glass darkly. And we see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ darkly, don't we? We don't see it full. But in heaven, the glory of God is most clearly manifest. And now Jesus Christ sitting on the right hand is not a literal right hand, but it is a figurative right hand. What does it mean? What does the right hand of God mean? It means power. That's what it means. The right hand of God means power. If you go to Psalm 89 verse 3, it says, "Thou hast a mighty arm, strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand." These terms, arm of God, hand of God. We know God doesn't have arms and God doesn't have hands. These are what we call anthropomorphic terms, which describe God's character or His being or something God is doing. It's in a language so we can understand the character of God. In other words, we couldn't understand God if He didn't use our language to describe Himself. And so right hand means His power or His might or authority. He means in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, it says, Jesus said before His ascension, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. The word power is exousia. This is used with divine beings. This is used with the authority and right of God. It means freedom of action or right to act. This word power means absolute, unrestricted power. This is the power that is in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. The power of God is in the hands of Christ. All power. God withheld no power from Christ when He ascended and He seated Him at the right hand, which means He gave Him all power and authority. He gave Him all power and authority. This man, Jesus Christ, the God-man, has all power over all creation and moves everything after the counsel of His own will. That's what the ascension means. It means that Christ has all authority. And He upholds all things by the word of His power. Now that's where He went. Next question is, what is He doing there? What is Christ doing there? There are two things that I have here. He is, first of all, calling out all His elect. He is calling out His elect and giving them salvation. Flip over to John chapter 17, a few pages. John chapter 17. Jesus Christ in His high priestly prayer said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son may glorify Thee. As Thou hast given Him power," that's the same word, exousia, "power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him." Our Lord Jesus Christ was not the representative of every man. But to those that were given Him by the Father, so then He lived and died and now by His authority gives eternal life even to as many as the Father has given Him. The Lord Jesus Christ this morning is moving the affairs of men for this purpose, to call out His elect and give them eternal life. You see, kingdoms rise and kingdoms fall. Kings come and kings go. Things happen. Joy, peace, war, famine, pestilence, hurts, discomfort, distress, all of these things that are happening are moving at the hand of Jesus Christ this morning. Everything. All power over all flesh, including us. Everything is in His power. Everything. Not one single thing moves without His permission. Not one. All power is given to Christ without restriction, because He is seated at the right hand of God. Now, what we do not do when I say all power and everything moves according to His counsel, what we are not saying is that He is chargeable with evil, are we? Jesus Christ moves and directs all men, evil and righteous, but yet He is not chargeable with evil. Although He does either restrain it or allow it. But He does this not for an evil purpose. You see, He allows men or restrains evil men not for an evil purpose, but for a good purpose. Joseph, for example. Everybody knows the story of Joseph. When Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers, he was left there at Potiphar's house, but yet Potiphar's wife, she falsely accused him, threw him into prison. He got into prison. He informed who the guilty party was in Pharaoh's house, and the man that promised to remember him did not remember him and left him in that prison. You see, all of these men had evil actions, evil intentions, selfish motives, and God allowed them all to do what they desired to do. But you see, His purpose was not for evil, but for the good of His people. You see, eventually, in the time that God had appointed, Joseph was exalted, the most powerful man in all of Egypt. Why? To save the line of Jacob. To save God's elect. Think of Judas. The Lord Jesus Christ handpicked this man, Judas. Gave him power to cast out devils, to heal the sick. Yet this man, Judas, was raised up for one purpose, to be the son of perdition. And he was allowed to do exactly what he wanted to do. What every man wants to do by nature, betray the Lord Jesus Christ. But in doing what he wanted to do, his evil action was used for the salvation of our souls this morning. You're saved this morning. The Lord used that evil man's purpose for our salvation. And so He does with every evil man in this world. Right now, He is giving, Jesus Christ on the throne is moving all things for the salvation of His people. And nothing moves without that purpose in mind. Nothing. What is this eternal life that He's going to give? Look at that in verse 3 of John 17. And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true and God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. My friend, this is none other than salvation by grace through faith in Christ alone. Not of works. That's what He's doing. That's what He's doing. And number two, the second thing He is doing is He is making intercession for all of those whom He saved. Go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 34. Romans chapter 8 and verse 34. The Apostle Paul says this, "Who is he that condemneth?" There's that ETH again. Present perfect tense. We'll look at that in just a second. It is Christ that died, yea, rather is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, speaking of His power. What is His power to do? Who maketh, there it is, ETH again, intercession for us. Paul is asking, who is he that condemned? Who is he that is condemning? And who is he that is going to condemn? Because Christ has made intercession for us, is making intercession for us, and shall make intercession for us. Because we are saved does not mean we cease from sin. If you and I were saved and we cease from sin, why then would we need someone to intercede? There wouldn't be a need for an intercessor, would there? There wouldn't need to be anyone to stand between us to plead our case before God. Well, this is our resting place, Christians. This is our resting place, that Jesus Christ has all power in His hands, and He is ever living to make intercession for you because of our sins. Anybody sin this morning? Anybody sin this morning? Anybody have a problem with that? Because I do. I need an intercessor. I need someone to plead my case before God. And that's what Christ is doing. He is a faithful high priest who pleads our case night and day before God. I love that song, "My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living one. His wounds for me shall plead." Where is Jesus Christ this morning? He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand, being given all power over all flesh. He is sitting there. What is He doing there? He is saving His people from their sins. Calling out His elect. Today, He's calling out His elect. Today. Not a day goes by, I guarantee that the Lord does not call His people. Wherever they are, He is moving all circumstances and all things so that He might call them by His gospel. And when He saves them, He is making intercession for them even at this moment today. That's where the Lord Jesus Christ is, and that's what He's doing. And we should be able now to give Him praise for these things. Give Him glory and honor, and it should bring joy to us. It should bring joy to our hearts, and our hearts should overflow with love for Him because He ascended for us. I pray this be a blessing to you.